just need to wait on Brenda to rest real quick.
Yeah. Staff members ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me gavel to order the Tuesday, January 3rd meeting of the Transportation Committee of the Town of Mount Pleasant. Town Council, Happy New Year, everybody who I haven't already said that to. We've been here a while this morning today. Good to see everybody here. Item number two is approval of the minutes from our October 31st meeting. Do we have?
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. If you have a public comment to make, please come forward to the lectern, give your name and address, and you have 2.5 minutes. Anyone to speak? No one for public comments, you sure? All right, we will move ahead to item four, employee years of service recognition. I assume that would be Mr. Morrison.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the committee. Happy New Year. And before I get to the employee recognition, I want to note that if you don't already know this, Mayor, you do know this, Paul Likens retired on the 30th, and stepping into his position is none other than James Aton. And so he's going to be the new Deputy Director of Capital Projects and Transportation. So it's out of the frying pan into the fire.
And I want to commend your staff. That was the most epic retirement cake and decorations I think I've ever seen. It was traffic cones and everything. It was really awesome.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. Okay, I'm going to have William Horn with our Building Inspection Division come up and recognize an employee for years of service.
Hello, afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Here I have Margot Grady. She's our Building Inspection Division with EDS. She's our Senior Office Manager. She started her journey 5 years ago yesterday. She started with us as a permit tech or permit clerk. She's quickly progressed to her current position where she's now supervising those permit clerks. She's also a pivotal role in keeping our department as a whole on track from purchasing, training new permit employees, coordinating third-party inspectors, working with contractors, providing monthly reports to help keep me on track, and keeping our overall division employees happy. She's our mission statement and one of our examples of delivering superior performance to our citizens and employees. Margot, I'm glad you're here, and I hope we can do this again in another 5 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your service. Look forward to that. Five more. Is that it on that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Item number five is South Carolina Department of Transportation presentations on Isle of Palms Connector vehicle and pedestrian lane concepts. How you doing?
Wonderful, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having us. Thank you for hosting the end of the beach traffic meeting back in the end of summer. That was also very productive meeting, and we appreciate participating as the South Carolina Department of Transportation. And I want to thank your staff for always working with us whenever we find some opportunities for improvements. So with that, as you all know, South Carolina Department of Transportation made some changes to Isle of Palms Connector a couple years ago in the spring. We added bike lanes, buffered bike lanes, and a location for pedestrians to cross. The reason for doing that is because it's on a number of bikeways. It's included in the Folly Beach to Isle of Palms, the Reach the Beach, Batter to the Beach. It's included in the Town of Mount Pleasant Comprehensive Plan. It's included in the Berkeley, Charleston, Dorchester Council of Governments Walk Bike Plan, and also in the East Coast Greenway that moves from Maine down to Florida. So in a ton of plans, we knew it was being used by pedestrians and bicyclists. The pavement markings were in poor condition, so it was the right time to go ahead and put these accommodations in. After putting them in, we had a lot of requests to look at some other alternatives. Some of them were similar to what we have with Ravenel Bridge, so we hired a consultant from our traffic safety on-call to look at it, RK&K Consulting, and they started in the fall of 2021. They took counts and field observations back in March of 2022, as well as last July, to really get an idea of what's going on peak hour, non-peak season. We gave them some criteria before they provided us these concepts. We told them they had to have a minimum of 1 11-foot travel lane in each direction. They need to have a 4-foot shy line in between vehicular traffic and the barrier wall just to give those motorists that level of comfort driving over the bridge. We also said to have a minimum of 1 foot shyline or offset distance from the pedestrian and bike accommodations in the wall. Same reason, to give a level of comfort, because people don't want to ride their bike right on the edge. We also have the drainage scuppers that are within that 1 foot section that we have to routinely drain and pump out. And then we told them they had to have a minimum 10-foot width for a multi-use path, so minimum 5 feet in both directions. And finally, we told them that we weren't going to allow something like a halt signal to be installed, a mid-block crossing coming off the bridge, because that level of traffic, we didn't want somebody to push a button and assume that all the vehicular traffic is stopping, which that doesn't always happen, and create an unsafe situation. So we wanted to carry traffic. If we ended up going with configuration on one side of the bridge, we'll make sure that we carry them across the intersections at locations where the motoring public expects to see them. So those were kind of our marching orders. As you know, this is the existing configuration, and it went through two summers of usage. The first concept, it's as you can see, it's got the 10-foot shoulder on the northern side, because this is looking from Isle of Palms heading towards the beautiful town of Mount Pleasant. You've got the 4-foot paved median, you've got a 6-foot buffer, and then as I'll say, on the Sullivan's Island side, you've got the 5-foot multi-use path in both directions, so 10-foot total. We thought it was important to point out what the impacts would be for each concept. So if we did this, we would recommend removing the multi-use path on the Mount Pleasant side on the north, again, eliminating the opportunity for pedestrians and motorists to enter that shoulder. So we will take that out to make sure that we didn't create some unsafe conditions. The second concept essentially flops the first one. You're putting them on the north side. But the same thing goes, you know, you have to remove the multi-use path on the Mount Pleasant side, on the south side up to Rifle Range Road. Again, in the event you had incident responders, law enforcement emergency responders using that shoulder, we wouldn't want them to come over a crest and have pedestrians and bicyclists heading their direction. We'd add additional signing as well to try and make sure that everyone knew where they were supposed to be and weren't supposed to be. And then we would have to do some work on the multi-use path on the Isle of Palms end for this one, because right now it just kind of daylights down. So we'd have to find a way to transition it down all the way to the intersection. The third one, instead of having an outside shoulder, it's got the paved median. And again, we'd still have to remove the multi-use path on the Mount Pleasant side on the south end. But this does come close to putting things back to the initial conditions before we put in the bike ped accommodations in having a 10-foot paved median. The fourth one again flops it. We'd have to remove the multi-use path on your end on the north side, and again, appropriate tie-in on the Isle of Palms side. This one has a 2-foot shy distance as opposed to 4.
Can I ask a quick question, not to derail, if you go back, are people going to be trying to pass on that? I see it's 2 yellow lines.
No, the intent is for that not to be a passing lane. No.
Right. Right.
No. So we would not want people passing in that.
But it's just the paint on the bridge, right? There's no physical barrier.
No, none of these proposed physical barriers. Now, if we wanted them to pass, obviously they'd be skip lines instead of continuous. But you're right. I know you live down here. I don't. I know you see it, or you saw it in the previous configuration. So,
yeah.
And you know, that's one of the reasons why the current configuration, we've got the green bike boxes. We've got them stacked very tightly because of such long distances apart originally that we saw some compliance issues. And while DOT is not the compliance agency, we didn't want to put an undue burden on the town or the city of Isle of Palms trying to run compliance. So we felt like additional bike boxes and signing was probably the best thing that we could do as a transportation agency. Good question. And then the fifth concept is taking 2 lanes off the island onto Mount Pleasant, and then it puts everything to pedestrian bicyclists again on the Sullivan's Island side with a 5-foot buffer and 2-foot shy distance. There's really no distance or no space for a median or a shoulder for incident response or law enforcement or first responders. Obviously, one of the big things we would have to do is we would still remove the multi-use path on the Mount Pleasant north end all the way back to Rifle Range Road, and we'd require some type of widening coming off onto Mount Pleasant to make sure that we still had turn lanes at appropriate locations. We'd have to look at the signalized intersections and make sure that we transitioned properly, whether we did lane drops or forced a right turn to turn right. But this will probably be the most work for us.
This one is the most work for you?
Yes, it would be because we would have to do a lot of work on potentially on the Mount Pleasant side to make sure, again, that there were still turn lanes at the appropriate locations and get you to the shopping centers and the neighborhoods.
Does that work come with your own money to do that?
Well, no matter what we do, we don't intend to ask the town or the city to fund this.
Oh, okay. Well, keep talking.
I figured I was speaking the right language.
Let's see all your ideas.
So those are the concepts. I'd be happy to take questions if you have any. The path forward would be January 13th. We're going to turn on a MetroQuest 30-day. It's a social media platform online that we put all these concepts out there and really collect public comment. And after that 30-day period, our plan is to wrap it all back up and come back to the town of Mount Pleasant and the city and say, well, this is the one that won, and this is what it's what the impacts are going to be, time wise, to be able to implement if we do decide to make a change.
Well, since we have a professional engineer and a career law enforcement officer, I can't wait to hear the questions they have. And I'm just going to be quiet. How about you, Ms. Corley? Listen, you'll have
to. Sure.
Yeah.
They'll be happy to. First responder, obviously. My first question is, especially when you mentioned number five, not really having that first responder lane in there. And even with the other concepts you've given us, has this been discussed with our chiefs for both agencies? Have you gotten their input?
No, I've discussed it with the city of Isle of Palms. Their police chief and fire chief came up and spoke, and it seemed like concept three was the one that they thought, from a managing incidents and first response, was the one that they felt like they could work the easiest. I'll go back to that just so everybody can see it. That way you've got that 10-foot center median, so it could work something either way. But no, I definitely want to get input from, because I don't know what I don't know. I got to know you during Wando a few years ago, but obviously I'm not a first responder. I'm not working law enforcement.
Sure. I would really encourage. I see our fire chief sitting there in the back now, and our police chief, and I'd be happy to weigh in as well. Because I know, chief, and correct me if I'm wrong, we respond a good bit to the islands to assist them, do we not? And then vice versa, I'm sure. Automatic aid, so it's important that anyone that's going to provide first responder assistance is involved. And I think it's important for both police departments, including ours, to be involved in this discussion, not just for the response, but for beach traffic. You know, I've been looking at your different concepts, especially was it the two lanes coming into Mount Pleasant? I think at one point that's got to be discussion on how do you manage that during the peak season when you deal with it. We already have an issue dealing with it now, and work very well with the island. So thank you for being willing to talk to our chief. Chief, I'll put you on the spot, but we're going to be sure we get you all included. And I guess, too, my other question from a first responder and public safety standpoint, looking at the lanes that you've identified, maybe go back to one or two.
Mm-hmm.
That were okay, there you go. The where you have on one side the bike and pedestrian lanes, where the other side is not. It's supposed to just be, it could be that first responder lane. And other than signage, how do we stop bikes and pedestrians? I think the answer is we don't. Unless you tell me something that I don't know.
Well, on the Mount Pleasant side, again, that's why we removed that multis path that comes right to the foot of it. But you're right. So you take away their access, but that doesn't mean they can't still do it, right? I'm not here to tell you a watch is right twice a day. And obviously on concept two, on the Isle of Palms side, there's that wider sidewalk that comes around, so you probably have to take that out as well, because again, you're trying to eliminate the opportunity to make bad decisions.
Right. I appreciate it. This is just some of my observations, and I appreciate you doing that.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you before you surrender the floor, of those, which struck you as the most safety and traffic management better one?
Go back to all of them again. Just go through them real quickly. This is number one. Hit two, three, of course, and four. you know, honestly, the one with the, if you go back to one where you just had the middle lane, where you had the middle, the double yellow lines on the other side, which one was that? You know, where you had the middle where you could almost take emergency vehicles down the middle?
Oh, yeah.
this one number
that,
three?
That's probably, in my opinion, and Chief, you can correct me if I'm wrong, too. At least you've got a lane to go through that should always be clear because of the double yellow lines. There'll be an enforcement component, but also gives you that little bit of room, that 4 foot it looks like, and another 6 foot. You can still move cars over a little bit to get larger equipment through or even reroute traffic. So right now, just at first glance, I look at three from a first responder point of view.
Thank you. Very, very helpful. Councilman Chapman, please.
Well, first of all, I'm glad to see DOT is working on something that's been a thorn in Isle of Palms side for a while. And the width of the median, and I guess it's 2 and 3, are identical to what it was before. The only thing that's happened is the outside or the shoulder areas have been lessened, or a shoulder area has been lessened on one side or the other. I know that there is a lot of interest in trying to get the evening traffic off of Isle of Palms and get it past Mount Pleasant during peak season. I don't know what the best answer is, but I know it would be a great thing if we could have some way to have the median in place for most of the time, but in those 2 hours at the end of the day, to try to do something where you've got two lanes getting off Isle of Palms. It might take some manpower, but it also might take some devices. I know in DC, they've got trucks that put out those medians that are used in construction almost on a daily basis. I don't know what the right answer is, but I realize you've got to do something for the bikes and the pedestrians, but there aren't that many of them that are there on a daily basis. I don't know that I've ever seen a crowd like you've shown on this picture out there at all. So having said that, I don't have the right answer, but I would sure like to see some way in the critical time periods to be able to get those vehicles out of the Isle of Palms and out of Mount Pleasant quicker than it happens today, because it's a safety issue for both Isle of Palms and the town with that kind of volume coming in. So that's all I can say.
I have some experience conversing with
Braves, but I think I've done too. Well, that's, so have I. And so I guess if there's some way that could be done to get the traffic not only off the Isle of Palms, but out of Mount Pleasant, it would sure be better. And these two, I guess 2 and 3, you could do that. You could do that.
Please.
So, thank you for being here. So you guys didn't like five at all?
I like five, but five creates a problem for first responders.
But wouldn't that be able to just, like, wouldn't you just shut off one of those lanes and then just like we would at
I'd be happy to answer that. Yeah. It depends on the situation. If we had, I've seen significant collisions on that, on the connector when I was still working, where you get the right kind of collision, it shuts the entire thing down. Right. You're done. I mean, it could even happen with the center lane, but this right here, when you got all these cars going and you have that type of collision or even a disabled, multiple disabled, you'd have a major issue getting, other than maybe a motorcycle or something, up there to get that response that they need, to be honest with you.
I agree with Mr. Chapman, it's going to be so, I think with us, it's so time related. So if you guys could just think about working that out, I think that would be crucial when you're looking at this. But yeah, I still like five for some reason. Just like just two lanes.
Which one did you say the Isle of Palms tended to favor?
Three from an instant response law enforcement standpoint, and the council seemed to favor five based on questions. There weren't any citizens signed up to speak, so it'll be interesting to see what their citizens want. But three,
I don't know if it's an insult or a compliment that they want more lanes coming to Mount Pleasant. Probably a compliment. I'm going to be positive. It's early in the year. They're more, you know, people want to get back to Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, they want to come have dinner with you.
That's right.
But no, a couple other things. We were asked about whether you could put a positive barrier wall up through the buffer to skinny it up. You'd still have to have those shy lines for vehicles, so that's the play. From a loading, a dead load standpoint, you could probably do it. But then, as I mentioned, we pump out those where we collect the water on the bridge, so that might create some challenges for us, so we have to work that out. And we've worked with your staff. They've made some wonderful timing improvements on Isle of Palms coming off the island at Rifle Range for summer beach traffic. And they've also got an option to do some additional pavement markings to try and better utilize the lanes. We just kind of wanted to get through this. We made any changes because we didn't want to stir up that snow globe and then stir it right back up again. So those are a couple of things to keep in mind. And then on the Isle of Palms side, are the consultant, and I don't know how much you care about it or not, but in front of that county park, when you go on Isle of Palms, traffic backs up. So we put up signing to tell them you can't park on the road on 14th and just wait. And the park has been wonderful in putting up a variable message sign that lets you know when the park is closed or full. But we looked at it from a traffic analysis, and if you made 14th a one-way in front of that park and forced everybody back around, then you remove two signal phases of that signal on Isle of Palms right there at Palm Boulevard and Isle of Palms Connector. So think about your school grades. You're taking that signal from a DE at peak AM and PM to like a BC. So you actually get to go to the next grade. But those are things, again, those things we'd have to look at. We're hoping to get some comment on that as well during the public comment period.
You're probably familiar that something that was alluded to earlier, we spent the last, was it, 1 year or two years, I guess, basically, working with all the islands to have better traffic management of all the beach traffic. And then this year, one of the local TV stations got involved because we figured one of the big issues for people to make better decisions is to have better information. But the most identified bottleneck was right there, was people turning to go into the county park. We worked with Charleston County Parks. I don't think we got exactly what we wanted them to do, but I think we got an improvement. But there are bottlenecks, and those are things. And when it backs up on the island, right, it backs up in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, and they've talked about putting in some type of e-ticketing. Kind of you've seen some of the downtown areas. But I think they were shooting for the parks this coming summer, but they were working with a consultant or software company. And we talked about also putting some detection on the bridge because a lot of crashes are rear ends coming over that crest. You just don't know what's queued up. But we've just got to figure out how to put detection up there that says, you know, stop traffic ahead when flashing, that we don't want to cut loops in the bridge deck, and you don't want to mount something on the wall that every time you have high winds, it knocks it down, it doesn't work. So we're going to challenge our consultant to come back to us with some options for that. So, but you're right. And I was amazed at the amount of camera viewership. Those cameras going out there are the highest viewed cameras we have. Summertime. So that tells you people are looking at them and your media push is working. And from our side, we're looking at potentially putting in maybe some more going out to the beaches, because if the motoring public's really going to use them, then that goes from just, I want to see if it's a pretty day at the beach, there's really traffic management at that point, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when there really could be a benefit to all of us.
Okay, so where does it go from here? I know you mentioned that y'all are going to open up your portal for public comment.
Yeah, I'll get with the chief first, and then we're going to load this up for public comment January 13th. What I'll do is I'll contact Brad and James as well as staff at the Isle of Palms and make them aware as soon as it goes live. And after 30 days, we'll pull it all together and come back. We'll see where we land.
Sounds good. Y'all got any other questions or comments?
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Item number six, I've spoken to a couple of y'all about this, but I'll introduce it because I kind of pushed it. I think this is an outstanding transportation committee of council. and it's January, and we've got basically a year. And I think it would be a good year if we have the budget for it, and we can sort of narrow, not narrow the purpose, but define the purpose. And let's address the thing that I get approached by more of our constituents than anything else. It used to be development. Things have calmed down in that. Now it's all traffic, and it's frustration, and it's time and all that. And this has nothing to do with our staff. That is not an indictment of our traffic police or our staff. It's just the nature of what Mount Pleasant is right now. And one of the things that I have seen change over the years, and we know that affordability has a lot to do with it, is the massive traffic jam at the end of the workday going out of Mount Pleasant. You know, if you've ever seen it going out, at least 526 and the Ravenel Bridge is huge. So we've got it going in two directions. And is to take a look, and we're not so much talking. I guess some things that might come out of this would involve we need to do some capital improvements or spend money on those type things. But the other is just the management of what we've got. And I know I almost sent the town administrator a text over the holidays the day after we met, and I said I'd like this on the agenda. We had that light the signal outage on Hungry Neck. I thought I had nothing to do with that, I promise. But this would be because on y'all's own, remember, y'all came back and told us there were 20-something traffic signals that either needed upgrading, replacement, weren't working. And that's the kind of thing. So what if we take a focused effort and get started in 2023 and say, let's find where the issues are, what we can do, like we did with the beach traffic management. What's the smallest thing we can do that gets the biggest results? Some of these things, it'll be maybe restriping some lanes or getting some new equipment or something like that. So that's sort of the idea. I want to see how council members, committee members feel, and then hear from staff of how we could do this. And before I do that, when is the last time we actually did this from a council level, said, let's spend this money and let's have a comprehensive view of what's going on traffic wise in the town? I don't remember one, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened since I was a council member.
Been here, sir. Okay. As far as council being involved, I think the last major one wasn't the whole network. It was
Dunhill Boulevard. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, sir.
Sure. And I don't assume anything, but with this type of review, it would be more than just traffic signals. And it's going to encompass what I would recommend encompassing is also including our police department.
Yes.
And the reason I say that, I think of accident disabled vehicle mitigation. And that's something that I know our police continue to see. You get these fender benders, or you get even a more serious accident, it can take forever to get those out of the way. And the negative impact, I don't care how well our lights are timed or our traffic flow, if we can't get them out of here, it's just going to continue to be a problem. And, you know, one suggestion, I've spoken to Mr. DeMore about it, spoken to the chief even before I retired, you know, looking at a Shep-style vehicle, things we could talk about, like the Kevin on the interstate right now, Mount Pleasant have the same, especially even if it's during peak hours or whatever time it is, a way to get these vehicles out of the roadway, off the site safely, understanding our medical, our paramedics got to deal with patient safety first. But if we can have a way to clear that, I can tell you, and Brad, I'm hoping you can kind of reinforce it for me, we can help you keep traffic moving if we can just get some of these vehicles out of the way. So right. That I'd love to see as part of that study.
Exactly. And I would add to that, you know, do we need more first responder equipment? Do we need more officers patrolling in the traffic division? Anything that helps us with safety, traffic efficiency, and all that, no matter where it comes in our budget or departmentally, we need to get the recommendations of what we need. You know, I can't remember the size of our traffic division and how many people we have patrolling from the police department, but does that need to be more? If it needs to be more, let's find
well, I'll give you an observation, Mr. Chapman, for me, just for give up for, you know, just from my observation, it's not always necessary to necessarily have a badge and gun to help handle these things. We have a great CSO program. Our community service officers could handle just what I'm talking about with that style vehicle. Our public works folks, and not trying to give Andy work, but we got great folks that could know how to manage those type of vehicles, so it could be a town approach versus just one or two departments responsible for our traffic movement. I think there's still be opportunities, I think, to be more than just a badge and gun to help out with that. So I'm just
Mayor, incident management is what you're talking about. Incident management is a big issue right now in the transportation profession. And so I would suggest that we do a comprehensive review of traffic mobility and incident management, because incident management is what Carl's talking about. Councilmember Ritchie's been out there on the street a long time. I was out on the street a long time. And one of the fastest ways to get traffic tied up is have a poor operation of the incident management itself. Maybe one of the things we need to do is some type of a committee room where we've got police, where we've got transportation, where we've got fire, with the cameras tied into the traffic control devices. That's what some of the larger cities have done. And it makes all the difference in the world. Because if you've got them all sitting in the same room, watching what's going on at the same time, there can be a much faster response. It's not going to be cheap, but it is the kind of thing that can do what you're talking about with traffic mobility. And maybe we've got to walk before we run, but we need to think about getting it started. Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about doing a study?
I was talking about
hiring it out. Or?
My idea was hiring out, as we discussed. I mean, some of this is like incident management. Some of this is like this intersection right out here, Houston Northcutt at Johnny Dodge. I'm through that intersection 4 or 5 times a day, and over the holidays, I was literally 2 cars and I would hit because they were heading over. There's what, 3 or 4 lanes there? And more people are using that frontage road, and they're going all the way over to get on the Ravenel Bridge. And when you're coming out of the Harris Teeter parking lot, you know, right there by what used to be Sticky Fingers, you're going the other to go up Mathis Ferry. And it gets, I know the speeds are low and the injury rate might be low, but the study of these type things, like which intersections are the worst ones in Mount Pleasant right now, based on our traffic patterns right now. You know, how much longer does it take to get from the foot of the Ravenel Bridge to 10 Mile than it did 5 or 10 years ago? And surely there are people, and I'm not asking to burden our staff with this, surely there are consultants that come in and say, here's the top-down approach. Part of it is your incident management. Part of it is y'all got to have a long-term plan for this intersection. You know, we hear a lot about the one up at Tupelo and all of that. And we know anecdotal evidence doesn't make the case that everything's wrong with that. But, I mean, there are places where people are very afraid of right now in Mount Pleasant. And let's find out, okay, what are the statistics? Do we need to do something? Do we need to work with DOT on some of these things? Because, you know, we've got a commuter population in this town right now. We really do, in and out. Maybe more so than a lot of communities. And as prices go up and affordability goes down, it's only going to get worse. So I wasn't talking about just the incident management, but anything that's going to help maybe avoid those incidents, which is better intersections, whatever.
And this is a study with a conclusion and
recommendations.
And recommendations?
Yes.
That sounds awesome.
And some of them are operational, and some of them may be capital. Some of them may be equipment. Y'all would let us know how many traffic signals was it y'all were working on? It was over 20, I think. Going back, yeah, replaced, worked on.
It was 17 knots, not 19 along Coleman.
Yeah. And that was a lot of good work. Thank you for that. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. And especially, I don't know how quickly these things can be done, but if we start soon, maybe we can have a good look as we start working on the budget for next year for some of those improvements and see where that needs to go. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Okay. And just in preparation for this discussion, not knowing, you know, what it was necessarily going to be about. I mean, I put down a lot of thoughts and a lot, Mr. Chapman, incident management, a lot of technology type things. But getting some guidance really from the committee members will be really key. What do you want to focus on? I mean, you could do another comprehensive study and say the same thing we just did in our LRTP, but in our long-range transportation plan that we adopted. But really, I think getting more specific about what is going to get the biggest bang for the buck type of discussion from the committee members here will be very helpful. So I think we could craft a scope of work that we would give to a consultant. We would want you to probably review that first and give some feedback.
Do we have a clue of how much money we would be spending, and is that an issue? Do we have money for this type of thing in our budget?
We have some money this year that we could start, and certainly if we understand the scope of what you're talking about, then we could program that for the upcoming budget.
Come here. Yes, sir. Good. Okay. What do you need from us today?
I think this is good for us. This is good risk for the mill. We can put something together to get feedback from you and then proceed forward.
Okay. That sounds good. So we'll talk about this at our next month?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Absolutely.
Does that sound good to everybody? All right. Thank you very much. 7, update on ongoing projects. Can you give us some highlights?
Good afternoon. We've got a number of projects here. We've kind of dubbed them as the top four that we're working through. I'll be quick and brief. Patriots Point Gateway project here is still in construction. A lot of utilities still working to be relocated. We've on the next slide here, we've got some photos of one of the multi-use paths that just went in along Patriots Point heading out towards the Yorktown. So there are some other hardscape things that our contractor has been able to do up to this point, but a lot is pending utility relocations. The Von Ed Key Parkway, this has really been making great progress. The contractor has been working really well. We've got drainage ongoing right now. That's where we stand right now. Again, we're still looking probably towards the end of summer of having final pavement go in. So just to give you a further outlook on that, Billy Swales, Phase 4B. Right now, we've begun the right-of-way acquisition process. And so we're moving forward with that with our consultants. That's really kind of the big thing going on with that project. And then lastly, the Maritime Port District intersection improvements. This is one of the projects, given higher lead times on certain materials like pipe and mast arms, in particular with pipe, that we're investigating the use of some other non-traditional pieces of equipment there, like HP pipe, high density plastic pipe, in lieu of the standard concrete pipe, but still working through that with our consultant and the contractor. And the notice to proceed on that is looking like February timeframe to begin work on that project. And those are really the top four projects ongoing right now.
Well, we've got different department heads in the room. We had a discussion, Mr. DeMora, the other day. I've been asked about the convenience store going into Patriots Point, foot of the Ravenel Bridge. They're doing a rebuild, right? It's not going away.
That's the plan right now. I would have to confirm with building inspections whether permits to actually begin that work have started yet, but that was the last.
We don't really need like a big report on it, but I mean, they're not closing that station permanently, right?
Yes, sir. They started work without permits, and so they were a stop work was placed. And we are in process of getting those permits.
All right, moving. I'm glad you told us that. Thank you very much.
All right.
I appreciate it. Okay, permits. They're usually handy to have when you start something like that. That's what I've heard.
We like to have them.
Yeah. Thank you all for the updates. Any questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Yes, sir.
Last one. When we finish this work, and I presume it's principally Long Point Road, what impact will be caused by the interchange project the DOT is currently in design for?
So the majority of improvements on this project are actually on the Wando Park approach to remove that split phasing from the side street, kind of free up some more green time for the Long Point approach and the truck traffic that they see there. As far as the latest version that we've seen from DOT, which we have a meeting scheduled or later this week, actually tomorrow, potentially with Jay Maddox, who's now the project manager for that, now that Joy Riley has left. That alignment still holds at the existing intersection there of Wando Park and Hobcock. So the impacts to that work are at this point none. And then, of course, improvements potentially through whatever alternative DOT intends to pursue with the truck traffic percentages and where they're actually routed to and from the port.
And are we doing anything at Lone Tree with this project?
We are not. That's a separate sort of phase of the overall Maritime Port District investigation. This was really the first phase that we intended to pursue.
There will be no impact while this is under construction or any impact in terms of changes to the intersection with this project. Is that correct?
In relation to DOT's interchange project, no. No, sir.
I'm talking about Lone Tree.
Oh, yes, with this project, no. No impacts to Lone Tree. Entirely separate.
Anything else? All right. There being nothing further, item 8 is for us to adjourn. This committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you.